everybody, and welcome to another edition of What's Cooking. Sue Hadfield here with you again on a rather wintry day here in the UK. Well, at least my little corner of it anyway. We've had some rain and some more significant rain forecast for later on, I believe, though no snow. I'm sad to say, I would have quite liked some of that, but never mind, we do need the rain here, so we'll see what happens. I hope I find you all well and looking forward to another food-packed show, as I am. We have quite a lot to get through, so what's cooking today? Well, the holiday season is most definitely upon us and in full swing. I'm sure you would agree. It certainly is in our house. And no doubt there'll be those of you who have friends and family visiting, possibly for the entire holiday period or for a few days, or perhaps just coming round for a few hours of an evening or for lunch or whatever. So today I thought we'd talk about party food, buffet food, finger food, whatever you'd like to call it, the sort of food you can just pick up in your hands and eat. Not necessarily any cutlery if you don't want to use it, just the sort of thing you can put on a plate, even paper plates if you want to, so there's not too much washing up. And you can just sit with your friends and family and chat and have some fun whilst eating your goodies. Now, there are two ways that you can do this. You can either slave over a hot stove if you have the time, making fancy cakes, fancy biscuits, hors d'oeuvres, canapés and so on. Or you can go to the supermarket, look in the freezers, in the chill cabinets and so on, where there is lots and lots of choice. And that's what we're going to do. We are going to save time. Remember, those of you who listened to the last show, I talked about cheating and what I don't like to call cheating, but saving time. You know, there's no need to slave over a hot stove for hours on end when you're cooking. You can just stick things in the oven and they will be just as good. Your guest will be just as pleased with the food that you cook, whether you've spent 4 or 5 hours cooking or a couple of hours. So yes, that's what we're going to do, but I'm also going to give you a couple of recipes that you might want to try while your food is cooking in the oven. And you know, when I have friends and family around to my house, I want to spend time with them. So I don't want to be running backwards and forwards to the kitchen, checking on food all the time. So I have lots of goodies in my kitchen, lots of bits and pieces that I have bought from the supermarket or the store. And we are going to cook these for you now. So,
this is what you do.
On the worktop in front of me, I have several baking trays or baking sheets with lots of goodies. And we have some spicy sweet corn fritters, some little cocktail sausages, some mini pizzas, and some little cheesy chili beef pasties. And I've taken these straight from the freezer and I'm going to cook them from frozen. All of these will cook nicely from frozen. And just waiting now for the oven to come up to temperature. There it goes. We've been very lucky actually, because my trusty old oven of 13 or 14 years broke down last year, and just before Christmas, so a good time for it to happen. And we weren't sure we were going to get a new oven in before Christmas, but we very luckily did. And a bonus we found was that the oven bleeps, as you just heard, when the temperature is when it's at the right temperature. And so that was an absolute bonus. We'd no idea when we bought the oven that this was going to happen, but good thing. Something you can do with cocktail sausages and quite a few other things actually is to leave the sausages to cool once they're out of the oven and then spear them onto cocktail sticks
or toothpicks, as some of you will know these, and they're quite a fun thing to eat. And lots of things you can put onto these. How about chunks of cheese with chunks of pineapple? Perhaps some chunks of ham and chunks of pineapple? Cherry tomatoes? Perhaps cut these in half and put a half a tomato on and a bit of cheese. Pickled onions we have over here, or you perhaps know them as shallots, with some cheese. They're very fun types of food to have. Careful you don't stab yourself. But they are very fun types of food to have, and I'm sure you'll enjoy them. Anyway, we've got all the goodies ready, and we are now going to put them in the oven. And I'm lucky my oven has three shelves if I need them. Though today I'm just going to use a couple of shelves. And I've got several lots of goodies on one large baking tray or baking sheet, and the others on smaller ones. So into the oven, and these will stay in the oven for 20 to 30 minutes, and some will take longer perhaps, some will take a little shorter time. And I've heated up my oven to 190 degrees C, which is 375 degrees F, and that is gas mark 5. So for 20 to 30 minutes approximately, perhaps a little shorter, a little longer for some things, you will need to check from time to time. So we have our food cooking nicely in the oven. And here are a few more ideas that you might like to think about while all that is going on. How about some stuffed tomatoes? Now, these are very easy to make, and there is no cooking time needed whatsoever. We're just going to cut these tomatoes in half and stuff them with fillings of your choice. So, you will need 4 to 6 large tomatoes. Depending on how many people you have staying with you or have to the party, you may want more or less than this, but that's entirely up to you. I'll say 4 to 6 large tomatoes. And I would advise not to buy these pre-packed. Go to the store and buy them loose and fresh, and pick up the tomatoes and give them a little squeeze just to make sure they've got a bit of give in them. You don't want them too hard, and you certainly don't want them too soft. So pick up the tomatoes and have a feel of them. Give them a little squeeze. And I do mean a little squeeze. We don't want tomatoes exploding all over the store, because then you'll probably be banned from the store and blame me for that, I'm sure. But yeah, pick them up and sort of have a good feel at the texture and so on. Lots of sighted people do this, although they would never tell you. And the best way to know about texture, obviously, is to have a feel at things. You can't do it properly by looking. I'm sorry, those of you who can see and who are listening, but I don't believe you can. Anyway, once you've got your tomatoes home, we're going to cut these in half, and we're going to scoop out, very gently scoop out the flesh into a bowl. Now, depending on how firm your tomatoes are, you may want to leave a little bit of flesh in the skin, because we don't want them collapsing. And if they are a little bit on the very ripe side, on the soft side, then they will just collapse once the flesh is out. So you may want to leave a little bit, a very little bit in there, just a very thin layer. Add salt and pepper to the flesh that you've put into a bowl. And then the world is your oyster as far as fillings are concerned. Now, if you're going to have various fillings, you're going to need various bowls, of course, because some of the fillings you may not want to mix together. But some ideas you might want to try are tuna or tunny, cheese, egg mayonnaise, prawn or shrimp, little bit of salad perhaps, or anything and everything. And what we're going to do is mix the ingredients up, just mash them together with a fork, and then scoop this mixture back into the tomato skin halves. Very easy to do, and if you have tried doing this with potatoes, jacket potatoes or baked potatoes, you will certainly know what I'm talking about. And these do brighten up tomatoes a little. Now, when I was a child, I hated tomatoes of any shape or form. But at school, we had to eat everything that was put in front of us, unless we had a permission letter from our parents to say, Sue is excused from eating tomatoes, and we agree that she shouldn't have them. And that was what had to happen. I had to have a letter from my parents, and then I was excused from eating tomatoes. This went on into my early 20s. I just didn't eat them at all. I just didn't like them. Although, funny enough, I did like tin tomatoes. So, yeah, very strange, I know. But I went to an anniversary party one evening, and there they had stuffed tomatoes. And from what I remember, some of these were stuffed with tuna, and some with prawn or shrimp, and they had others with a little bit of egg mayonnaise inside. And I thought, well, that's very different. Let's give these a try. And I tried them, and you know, I absolutely loved them. They were absolutely delicious. And funnily enough, now I can eat tomatoes either stuffed or not. So, you know, I cherry tomatoes, beef tomatoes, I can just eat any sort of tomatoes. Isn't that strange? So maybe that will help some of you who aren't too keen on tomatoes, and maybe children, because I know there are a lot of children that don't like their vegetables, although tomatoes are a fruit, aren't they? Not a vegetable. But, you know, these tomatoes aren't just good for a party or buffet. They're good for any meal, and I hope you enjoy them. You might also like to make sandwiches, and obviously you can make the conventional sandwich, but how about a bit of a change and doing something a little bit more interesting? Open sandwiches, for example. Now, for those of you who don't know, these are just a single piece of bread with fillings of your choice, also known as open face or open-faced sandwiches. They're enjoyed in lots of countries throughout Europe, Austria, Hungary, Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands. And the world is your oyster again as far as fillings. You could have bacon and egg, ham, sausage, cheese, prawn or shrimp, tuna or tunny, salad, pate, butter, anything you like. The choices and the possibilities are endless. You can also make these with bread rolls, so you don't just have to use slices of bread. You can use bread rolls too if you like. But these are a very good addition to any party, any buffet, and always quite a surprise when guests see them. You might also like to have some bowls of potato chips and corn chips, chip sticks scattered around the place. Also nuts, peanuts and cashew nuts. We have a wide variety of choice of nuts over here. Salted peanuts and dry roasted peanuts, spicy nuts, nuts and raisins. How about some dried fruit or a bowl of salad? Maybe a bowl of fruit salad, perhaps. And dips. Dips are always a good idea. People use them for all sorts of things. I've known people at my parties spoon dips onto their sandwiches. So, yes, but they're always a very good idea. And again, you can make these if you wish, or you can find a wide selection at your supermarket or grocery store. Here's a nice recipe for salsa. And this is very popular. It's low fat and it's very tasty. For this recipe, you will need 250 grams or 9 ounces of fresh tomatoes, finely chopped, 1 small onion, finely chopped, 3 mild chilies, finely chopped. 1 bunch of coriander or cilantro, finely chopped. Salt to taste. And lime juice to taste. 1 tablespoon of water. Now, I know that if you're making this in the US, your tablespoons are smaller than those over here in the UK, but 1 tablespoon of water should suffice for this recipe. And all you do is simply combine all the ingredients in a bowl and serve immediately. What could be easier? Another popular party food over here in the UK is sausage rolls. Now, if you don't know what these are, the best way I can describe them is as a meat turnover, I suppose. And you can buy these in the supermarket over here, either frozen or fresh. But these are very easy to make, and I'm sure they will impress your guests. For this recipe, you will need 30 grams or 1 ounce of butter, 100 grams or 3.5 ounces button mushrooms finely chopped. Now, I'd say these are optional. I certainly know someone in our house who is not going to eat those, so I should be leaving them out. So, entirely up to you. 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1 tablespoon of Tabasco sauce, 1 tablespoon of dried thyme, 450 grams or 1 pound of sausage meat, salt and freshly ground black pepper, 450 grams or 1 pound of ready rolled puff pastry, 1 free range egg beaten. And what we're going to do is preheat the oven to 200 degrees C or 400 degrees F or gas 6. Heat the butter in a large frying pan or skillet and fry the mushrooms until soft, then transfer to a bowl. Add the Worcestershire sauce, Tabasco sauce, thyme, sausage meat, salt and freshly ground pepper, and mix all together. Now again, I would say get your hands in there, because there's no surefire way of knowing with this sort of recipe whether your mixture is of the right consistency other than getting your hands in there. So I would advise you to do that if you want the best results. I know some of you don't like getting your hands dirty, but if you want good results, I'm afraid that's the only way for this sort of recipe. Roll the puff pastry out into a large rectangle and then cut into 2 long rectangles. Place a layer of sausage meat mixture in the middle of each rectangle. Then brush each rectangle on one edge with beaten egg. Then fold the dry edge of pastry over to meet the side of the pastry with the beaten egg. Press down to seal and then cut this into 8 or 10 sausage rolls. Place these onto a baking tray or baking sheet and pop into the oven for 15 to 20 minutes or until they are crisp and golden brown. Very easy, wouldn't you say? And I'm sure that these will be very, very popular, and people might even ask you for the recipe. You're also going to want to think about drinks for your party or celebration, and of course the choices here are most definitely endless. You can have beer or wine, cocktails if you're feeling adventurous, soft drinks for the children and those who don't drink alcohol, tea and or coffee, orangeade, cola, fruit juices, all sorts of choice. But, you know, whatever you choose, I'd also advise you to have plenty of water around, because there are times when only a glass of water will do.
listening to the Cornwall Voice.
If you were listening to last month's show, you'll remember that I cooked German meatballs, or Buletten, and I also gave you a recipe for basic shortbread. And incidentally, shortbread is a very good party idea. Goes down well as a sweet or dessert, maybe with some fruit on top and some cream, etc. I've heard from a couple of listeners after last month's show, one of them being Pedro, who says he's pleased that I chose recipes that he feels even he can cook. Pedro is just learning to cook and has cooked simple dishes, scrambled egg, I think, and various other bits and pieces. He's also learning to use the oven. Well, good luck with that, Pedro. And if you cook the Buletten or the meatballs or any of the ideas in today's show, let us know. Pedro is also a little bit worried about getting his hands dirty. So getting his hands in there, he's not actually very keen on that. And no, there are a lot of people that aren't, Pedro, so you're definitely not alone. However, in recipes like the Buletten and also the sausage roll recipe, certainly for the sausage meat mixture that I mentioned today, the only sure way to get, or rather to know, that your mixture is of the correct consistency, really, is to get your hands in there. Even if you can see what you're doing, I'd advise you to get your hands in, because you're not really going to know by using a palette knife or a wooden spoon or so on. But yeah, get your hands in there. So come on, Pedro, be brave. It's not going to hurt you. I also heard from Lee, who had various questions about the recipes, etc., in last month's show. And I thought I'd share these, just in case there are others of you who are wondering about similar things. Firstly, Lee asked about the cube I used when making the meatballs. This is basically a beef stock cube, or bouillon cube, as some of you may know it. These are widely available over here in the UK, and I've no doubt also in the US and elsewhere. Lee also asked about caster sugar, and you're absolutely right, Lee. This is not the icing sugar or confectioner's sugar as you know it. Caster sugar is referred to in the US, I believe, as fine grade or superfine sugar. We then move on to oven temperatures, and Lee asked, at what temperature do I cook my shortbread, and what are the conversions for oven temperatures from gas marks to the US temperatures? Well, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, but I believe that in the US, you refer to your oven temperatures in Fahrenheit, whereas over here we have gas mark or centigrade. I cook my shortbread in a medium hot oven at around 180 degrees C, which converts to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. We next move on to measurements, and specifically measuring cups. This does get rather complicated, since the standard American measuring cups sold over here in the UK are a 1/4 ounce cup or smaller, whereas most American recipes use an 8 ounce 2 cup as a basis for measuring ingredients. Now, the best advice I can give you is to never, ever mix metric and imperial measurements in any one recipe. Choose one system and stick to that system. Don't mix your measurements, otherwise you'll be in a right royal mess. And if you really are in any doubt about measuring and cup sizes and so on, the best and surefire way to know that your measurements are correct and to know that you will get good, consistent results is to weigh out your ingredients using a balanced scale with the weights, or perhaps talking scales, which are widely available. Now, I will be demonstrating both balanced scales and talking scales on a future show, so you might want to listen out for that. But if you are in any doubt at all, I would say weigh out your ingredients using scales. If you do this, you really will get good and consistent results. If you'd like to contact the programme, as Pedro and Lee did, you can email cookin@theglobalvoice.info. That's COOKIN @theglobalvoice.info. Perhaps you have a favourite recipe you'd like to share, and it really doesn't matter how basic this might be. Maybe you'd like to tell us how you make your favourite cup of tea or coffee in the morning, share your favourite sandwich with us, your favourite meal for dinner. Anything is absolutely fine. You might have a cookery experience you want to share, either funny or disastrous or both, or even a successful meal you've cooked or cake you've baked. I've certainly got a few funny and disastrous recipes or even experiences that I'll be sharing with you on future shows. Perhaps you have questions about today's show or ideas for something you would like to hear on future shows. So get in touch. That email address again, cookin@theglobalvoice.info. That's COOKIN@theglobalvoice.info. Don't be shy, I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to listen to the programme again, you can do so by going to theglobalvoice.info/gallery. You can also go to incx.org, where you can download our podcast. And do remember that the recipes mentioned in today's show will be on our cookery page at incx.org/whatscooking. Well, I'm afraid that's all we've got time for this month, but please join me next time when I'll be cooking stir fry, and we'll also have a special guest on the programme. So, until then, whether you're celebrating or just having a break from work, happy holidays, everyone. Oh, and of course, happy cooking!